Jackson, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, theater artist, activist, reporter. I mean, you do so many things. You wear so many hats. But thank you for wearing those hats. I always appreciate whenever you post anything, because you're always making people think.
I'm just trying to stay busy, and I try to put the community first and foremost as much as I can.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy Warhol lets a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy Warhol lets a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Emma Gehrig-Scott. Her show, Duck, Duck, Dog, is on now at Froelich Gallery in Old Town through February 27th, 2021. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Emma.
Thanks for having me, Joseph. It's great to be here.
Your show consists of, I think it's in three parts, stuff that you did early on in 2020, then a series of paintings, mainly animals, on metal, the circular paintings, and then there's some gouache work at the end that you did at the end of 2020. So as people come in the gallery on the left side, in a little alcove, there are these oil on canvas pieces mounted on wood, and they're landscapes, but I would say they're very messy landscapes. There's a lot of drips, there's a lot of sort of clashing colors, strange forms. It's very unconventional landscape painting. What inspired you to do these, and what was your technique?
So the impetus for, I call it the Crater series, was it was a mix of things. So I was going to the Portland Art Museum. This was before we were in lockdown. So I'd go to the Portland Art Museum, and they have this one small Helen Frankenthaler painting of a landscape that I like to go look at. I was thinking about the how she treated landscape almost like an object, like the elements of the landscape felt, the sky felt like it had its own objects as well as the ground. And I was thinking through my own work up until this point that I was doing these kind of landscapes. Often I would incorporate or focus on a figure, especially animals and especially dogs. So my first solo show here was exclusively these dogs and completely wild landscapes that would be, that we would consider them abstract, absolutely. So I really wanted to push myself and see what would happen if I could figure out how to play with landscape in a way that would really give inspiration for the figures to live in. So that was the impetus to start this work. I also had about 50 to 60 photographs from the exact same place, landscape. It was out in the desert, so it all looked very similar. So it seemed like a good place to start of really looking at something over and over again to play with the, I'll keep saying, objectness of the landscape, of the different elements.
Which desert?
I believe it was in near Summer Lake, Oregon. My husband and I were driving back from visiting Summer Lake. So that's down near Paisley, Oregon, kind of central. Yeah, and all my photographs kind of look the same, and the shadow would create almost like these really design-like hard edges. So yeah, the drips and the energy was really just to kind of play with it and take it a little bit away from photograph. Still very inspired by the composition.
One in particular that I like is called Around a Crater 2020. And you can tell it's a crater now that I've got the title. It's a sort of orange foreground with kind of blue and white splashes in the front. That might be a plant or a bush. And then the crater itself is a dark blue, sort of indigo. I don't know what shape that would be, a sort of a wishbone shape on top of this orange mountain. And above that, there's a white streak of sky. Then it gets dark blue. And then there's sort of interference from just other shapes and other types of mark making, like you're using a pen or something, or a hard thing instead of a brush. Tell us, how did you come up with the orange and blue color scheme? And then what's happening with the sky? Why is it so different from everything else?
So the color inspiration for this one, I love to use older paints, like used tubes that I get at local art supply stores. And then I kind of play with palette separately. So I knew that these oranges and blues I really wanted to see together. I think they really sing. I like to use really, for texture's sake, I really like to use older brushes, kind of dried out brushes that essentially have become sticks. So you're right in that, with scritchiness. I'm really interested in saying things visually that are using color to attract, and then saying things a little edgily by having some rougher moments. I'm really interested in that. This canvas was stapled to the wall, so the play with the sky and the drips was just seeing what happened with just letting it kind of run down. So a mix of the scritch and then the drip.
And what's the solvent? What's making these drips happen? And also, it seemed to be painted with a lot of energy. There's a lot of clashing shapes and textures. Is that how you physically paint?
Yes, I am quite an energetic painter, I would say. So I use Gamsol, which is it's a non-toxic solvent by Gamblin, essentially like a safer turpentine. So that allows the paint to be pretty thin and to drip. I also, with the grounds for these paintings, I do a mix of the gesso. I prime it with gesso, and then I like to mix my own ground color. So that's kind of that orangey tan that I really like to let show through, that I also thought really sung with some of those cobalt blues and that kind of thing. What was it? The energy of the painting practice for me. It's a lot of buildup in the studio. I spend a lot of time sitting, thinking, drawing, petting my dog, and then I do. You're right. It is kind of an attack of the canvas. I really like it to feel like it's capturing that energy.
The second part of the show, the larger part of the show, is these paintings. Most of them are around, but there is one big one, Dog Meeting Number One, 2020, Oil on Aluminum. And it's three dogs sort of frolicking about, doing what they do. And then the background seems to be orange trees, so it could be a bit of palm tree in there. It's kind of confusing foliage. And then the blue floor goes up in a triangle into the middle. What is it about this the way you put the figures in the foreground, and to explain, you know, your training as an illustrator and how this all relates?
My background, growing up, firstly, my mom is an illustrator. She trained as a medical illustrator, so that's what she has her MFA in. And so she taught me a lot of my technical painting and drawing skills. And with illustration, and the way I learned illustration, were the figures were very isolated in space. So kind of going back to those landscapes that I was talking about earlier, the way my practice operates is I want to play with figure ground relationships and not only creating spaces for figures to live, but can the painting style kind of merge those two things, and a play between fore and background. So these three dogs are based off of these tiny little drawings I had been doing in my sketchbook I just do them on, I get quick little drawings to get a composition idea in mind, as well as that confusing and obscure plant shapes and forest shapes. All of that is kind of hashed out quite energetically, but very in a very small way in my sketchbook. So the curiosity for me is always to see, okay, I have these colors I'm really curious about. I have these forms that I'm really curious about. And I really want to play with what I like in the drawing, because drawing and painting are so different. So I'm always wanting to navigate what elements can feel like a drawing and what elements feel like the painting. So these dogs, these three pink dogs, are kind of meeting in the center of an open woods, is the idea. Their bottom right corner is a little unfinished. I'm really suspicious of mastery, and I was getting to a point with working around these dog figures that I knew that if I kept going, it was gonna feel overdone, like I was taking too much control of this space. So I really wanted to play with that.
Is that why they all have blue paws?
Yes, I wanted them to be merging a little bit with the ground, like with those landscapes. I still wanted some of the drippiness, that energy also in the figure. So I actually mixed a lot of that white paint and a little bit of the coloration with marble dust to get that thicker look. So just to have them texturally pop out a little bit too.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Emma Gehrig-Scott. Her show, Duck Duck Dog, is on now Frolic Gallery through February 27th, 2021. In the sequence of round paintings that are on the right of the gallery as you walk in, there's one in the middle called Jumpin' Jammer 2020. And it looks, it's two dogs kind of frolicking. You know, they have expressions on their face. One's got his tongue out. They're on a kind of a, I don't know, what do you call it? It's like they're on a globe, really. You know, it's kind of mythical almost. So I imagine someone would see this and think, oh, cute dog painting. But from what you've said, most of what your interest is very academic, and, you know, it's all about the structure of a painting and how you work as a painter. And it seems like a long way away from the sort of anthropomorphic approach to animals. So where do you meet in the middle?
So I think my drive to continue to portray these animal creatures, and especially the dogs and the ducks, is to keep a lightness to my work. I'm very interested in creating my own narrative, and it's based in my childhood that is was full of animals. It was very playful, and it had this frivolity to it. So with my work, I want to balance that push and pull, that intensity of painting, by continuing to be playful and not shy away from more of the narrative, to embrace and not be timid about my these characters and their inherent silliness. I like having the tongue hanging out and a little bit more of a aggressive expression. I don't want it to be off-putting in that way. Not that being off-putting is a bad thing as an artist sometimes, but I want to use my drawing and my figure as a way to continue to explore color and the paintbrush and the texture that you get. I mean, it's endless. And so where do you start with form? So I start with my own narrative, my own memory, my own playfulness.
So you're getting these dogs from the, going to a dog park, right? And you're also, there are ducks, you go to Laurelhurst Park, and then there are plants. What I was interested about the dog was, you know, you're using red as a sort of shadow on the underbelly. and there are red-tinged plants. There are some clashing colors. So when you do plants, such as in Bottomless, and there's another one called, I don't know what a sad sack is. I don't know either, actually. What are you doing with the color when you approach these plants?
So the plants have become a really fun way for me to kind of pick out my palette ahead of time and really see where I can merge the lines and create an entire landscape and space within just looking at these plants and interpreting them. I have an aunt and uncle that collect some Haitian paintings, and it's similar to like picking out the grounds ahead of time. You have this really intense color that you're painting over with your whole palette. And that's kind of why I like painting on the metal as well. I really like the moments where you're seeing through the layers. So that's what I love about having kind of that red outline coming through on Jumpin' Jammers. And then with Bottomless, having those red dashes kind of pulling out from behind. And you can even see they're contrasting with that copper underneath as well. So all of it is trying to illuminate the form from behind these shapes and figures.
So you bought these circles of copper at for $1 each. What does it feel like when you put the first layer of oil paint on them? And then how do the other layers feel after that?
It feels awesome. The first layer is a little nerve-wracking. So you can see, I think you can tell some of these have quite a few more layers because you're not able to see the aluminum or copper behind it. And sometimes with me, painting can take quite a few layers to get it to where I want it to be. But like with Bring Me My News, that copper painting, it feels much more illuminated. You can really, when the light shines on it, you can really see the copper underneath. And that one I really committed to that first layer. I wanted to see what it looked like with the first layer on that copper and commit to it. So some of it's about commitment a little bit.
There's a picture, Bring Me My News, as in like newspaper. It's a guy, a sort of a blue guy with his dog, female dog. And they're both looking off to the left. And the guy's hand is like gigantic. You know, you obviously trained at art school. Why did you do an arm and a hand like that?
I really like looking at, I had mentioned to you before, my family, I grew up Mennonite, and it's related to the Amish and the Quakers, but culturally Mennonite, I would say. So I didn't have a buggy or bonnet or that kind of thing. However, my family does collect icons, Eastern Orthodox icons, especially from Bulgaria. And so I was looking at those figures quite a bit. When I was in art school, I was really curious, the initial points of inspiration and image making. And I was kind of just looking at these hands. If you can picture more of these religious icons, you know, the hands are kind of coming up in like very like fluid but stiff positions. So I wanted the looseness of my figures that I was getting at this point with something as known and expected as a human form. And I kind of like the shock of that arm blending with the background in a different way. Kind of playing with almost a cartoonish human figure. Yeah, just trying to get at the looseness of it, I think.
And then towards the end of 2020, you said your husband got COVID, so you both had to isolate from each other. You ended up in a basement with no windows for 3 weeks, and you just had your gouache and your papers. And then tell us about this friend who would send you photos from a florist.
Yes, so one of my very good friends from college back in Indiana, she is a florist there now. She runs a flower farm. And while I was trapped in this basement for an unknown amount of time, it felt like, She would send me these photos of bouquets that she was working on, or from over the summer as well. So I really had these summery, bright photos to look at on my phone screen. And I just spent my time drawing those forms and really getting to know them, and also to play. What I love about drawing flower bouquets is that once you start, you realize how confusing it is to try and draw flowers of all things, and plants in general are that way. So it was really kind of endless experimentation. So then I had this the squash and the paper, and I just started playing around with, you know, what would it look like with these different palettes to interpret these drawings. Gouache is really fun, and that way for me, it does feel a little bit more like drawing or ink drawing. So that's what I really enjoy about it. And I also love using it in a thicker way to cover up previous layers. So I like it interacting almost like a watercolor as well as an acrylic paint.
What's the resolution like? Like when you're looking at a phone, do you feel like you're as close as if you're getting in eyes and nose right up to a real flower?
Absolutely not. But I don't, once again, I don't want to play ignorant of the reality that we live in. And that was so of that moment. That was all I really wanted to draw. I wasn't really inspired by the couch I was stuck on, nor the TV. And I think all of us need to find and be okay with our sources of inspiration. It may not be as romantic and beautiful as having an actual bouquet in front of us and smelling it. But that doesn't mean that I can't work with what I have and still enjoy it, and it still be a worthy and worthwhile thing to have created. I think in all of this, and the desire to work from photograph, we so often romanticize and idealize artists that go out into the world and paint. And that still is really wonderful. It's wonderful to get out into the world and paint. But especially during a pandemic, that's not really an option for a lot of people to do that safely. It's not an option for just a lot of people. And the reality is we have a lot of photos to work from. That's really interesting to me, what we could do with that.
Of all the infinity of things you could have seen on your phone, what was it about flowers that made you want to paint them? Was it because they were coming from a friend?
I think so. I think it's such an automatic response for me at this point of what I decide to focus in on. I guess I don't spend too much time anymore worrying about whether or not that makes sense to be inspired by it. Just because visual work and making visual work doesn't really exist in the logic of today. So, yeah, I think it coming from a friend, that's really meaningful, better than doing a Google search for flowers. But I also wouldn't poo-poo anyone for doing that either. She's also, quite good at design. And so that's also a really helpful point, is that we have this common ground, I think, of a visual lexicon. So she's sending me these things that she's designing in person, and then I get to reinterpret it. Mm-hmm. These look nothing like the photos, to say. I don't know if you would be able to pick out the photos. Because they're drawn, and then I'm working from the drawing. So I reference the photo basically only once in that process.
What are you going to paint when everything's back to normal, we're all running around without masks, congregating in huge crowds?
I'll paint huge crowds. Right now in my studio, I've once again, back to the drawing and painting overlap, I've been trying to figure out, I've been playing with larger works on canvas and just using liquid acrylic and canvas as a drawing material. I have no idea where it's going. So I think the process that I've come out with on the other side, we're not on the other side of this pandemic, but the process that I've garnered from this year is one that I actually feel is much more rooted in it. So I'm really excited actually to just move forward into this unknown world. I think we'll all be continually influenced by the pandemic, whether or not we're in crowds again, maskless. I'm just excited to see what it looks like.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Emma Gehrig-Scott. Her show, Duck, Duck, Dog, is on now at Frohlich Gallery through February 27th, 2021. Thanks so much for doing Art Focus with masks on, Emma.
Thank you, Joseph, so much for having me. This is great.
Like to take a cement fix, be a standing cinema. Dress my friends up just for show, see them as they really are. Put the people in my brain, two new pens to have a go. I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show. Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream, and him on my whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy walking, Andy tired, Andy take a little snooze. Tie him up when he fast asleep, send him on a pleasant cruise. When you wake up on the sea, be sure to think of me and you. To think about paint and to think about glue, what a jolly boring thing to do. Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream, hang him on my whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all. Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream, hang him on my whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Thank you. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know how good he was. When it was after the photo shoot, after I'd already shook hands with him and met him. I told him this when I seen him again, too, out in L.A. It's like, yo, I didn't know. Like, he's really...
Sintonizando KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM y a través de la internet en kboo.fm.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7